Happy holidays. We do have visitors today, and we're glad that you're here. Some of the visitors that we've got are certainly not strangers to us, and we're glad that Melody has been able to come up from Florida. She's here with us today, and we've got some other people that are not unfamiliar faces as well. But for those of you that may be visiting for the first time or have just been here a few times, we want you to feel a very warm welcome. And we hope that you'll come back at any time that you have the opportunity. At this season of the year, I'm kind of thinking that there's more people thinking about religion than probably at any other time during the year. And a lot of this, it's attached to the birth of Christ, as we all know. But if you ask people if they're religious, most everybody's going to say they are. Are you religious? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm religious. But the kind of religion that a lot of people have today, I'm going to make the case this morning that it's a Jeroboam religion. And if you don't know who Jeroboam was, don't feel bad about it, but I'm going to tell you. I want you to know today before you leave the building who Jeroboam was. And why I say that today there's a lot of people got the same kind of religion Jeroboam did. Because we're living in a time that the so-called non-Christian world, it means nothing to them. That Jesus is God's Son and that He was born to be a human being here on this earth, they don't believe. 2.3, I believe, big Muslims, they look at Jesus and say, well, he was okay. And he was even a prophet, but you know, the non-prophets may be better than he was. The Jews, of whom Jesus was born, they looked at him and they said he was a pretty good guy too. Pretty good prophet. If you talk to Jesus today, as a matter of fact, on television this past week, I've seen some Jews defending Christ. Not as God's son, though. Oh, no. Not as God's son. They don't believe that he was born of a virgin. And that God sent him here on this earth to be tested and tried just like each one of us, and that he would not be made for that. He's just like anybody else. And then there's I call it generic Christianity throughout, not just the United States, but through the world today, that do believe that Jesus is and was God's Son, born on this earth, born of a virgin, who lived a life of perfect example before us, and who do believe the things, many of the things, and some maybe even most of the things that the Bible has to say about it. But that don't mean that they still don't have a Jeroboam religion. Now, I've got a few points up here, and I'm sort of going to sprinkle them out this morning as I need them, that you can see on the board. What you see up here is a golden calf. And that's the kind of religion that Jeroboam had. And you look at this woman with this statue, and you say, well, that's idolatry. That's idolatry. And I'm not so sure that we don't have idolatry sometimes at this season of the year ourselves. We've got a commercial idolatry in this country. To a lot of people in this country today, this season means making money. Make more at this time of the year than do any other time. So that's their golden calf. That's their idol. And if that is their religion, then they've got a Jeroboam religion. But what about all the people that consider themselves to be religious, but they don't necessarily adhere to God's word any other time during the year? And I say to you this morning that if that's so, they've got a Jeroboam religion. Now, I keep using this man's name, Jeroboam, over and over again, and you're saying, well, everything you're saying is not going to mean much unless I know who Jeroboam is and what it was. And if you know the history of the Jews, you'll know that God had his prophet Samuel to anoint the man king whose name was Saul. He was the very first king of Israel. It's all reigned for 40 years. He wasn't the kind of king that God wanted him to be, but God let him reign for 40 years until his death. And then he had another king whose name was David, and God had Samuel to anoint him as well. And he ruled 40 years, or reigned 40 years, and he had a son whose name was Solomon, and he reigned 40 years. So the first three kings, 40, 40, and 40, that's 120 years. But the fourth one came along, his name was not Jeroboam, but Rehoboam. And he was Solomon's son, David's grandson. And what happened was, I really think that when he first took the throne, when he was, like today we say, he was first inaugurated, he wasn't really inaugurated, he was anointed. I think that he wanted to do a good job. And I think that he wanted to do right by God and do right by people to start with. But just like a lot of other people, even some that get into office today, it ain't long till something happens and, boy, that something is not good. And the Bible says about Rehoboam that he went to the old men that had served under his father Solomon and asked them their advice, their counsel. And they gave him some good advice. They said, the first thing they said to do was cut taxes. Boy, that's going over good today, wasn't it? Cut taxes. Now, another thing that you can do is be good to people. Treat people in this kingdom like they're somebody, like you love them. And they gave him some real good advice. And so he nodded his head and said, okay, I see. So then he goes to a younger group of people, people about his age, people that have never been in the cabinet, so to speak, or the council. He said, what do y'all say? And their advice was just raise taxes and to rule with a heavy hand. And here's what he said because he took their advice. And here's what he said. This gives you an idea. He said, my little finger is going to be thicker than my father's thigh. Now, we look at that and say, what's that mean? Well, that means all the office. My little finger is going to be thicker than my father's thigh. And that's what he ruled. He ruled with a heavy hand. But he didn't rule for 3 years. And after 3 years, this man Jeroboam comes on the scene. And Jeroboam had no right to the throne. He had not been anointed. He was not God's choice. And as many of you good Bible students know, there were 12 tribes of Israel. And there was a prophet that came and brought a garment like a coat. And he tore that garment in 12 pieces. And he gave 10 of them to Jeroboam. And he said, that's how many tribes you're going to get. And Rehoboam had the other 10. And sure enough, that's what happened. Not that this was a good prophet, but the prophecy came true. And so here's what happens when Jeroboam comes to the throne. Now God's got a law, it's called the law of Moses. And within that law, there's a lot of different things that, it's a lot bigger than just the Ten Commandments. And one of those things was that there was a special day of the year that you're supposed to go to Jerusalem to worship. And Jeroboam said, we're not going to do that anymore. What I'm going to do, I'm going to set up a golden calf up at Bethel, which was just really a few miles from Jerusalem, and another up at Dan in the northern part of the kingdom, and y'all come there and worship. And that's not what God said to do. God said, go to Jerusalem to worship one time a year. Now, another thing was, God said, now that one time a year is going to be the first day of the 10th month. And so Jeroboam said, no, we're going to change that. We're going to change that to the 8th month and 15th day. So he backed it up about 6 weeks from what it was. And that's not what God said to do. God had already appointed that particular day, and he changed it. We see a lot of deterioration in our society today. And you know, if our lawmakers and people people that are prominent in our society, they try to cram that down our throats at one time, we will take it. And so here's the way they get it done. They do it just little by little by little by little. And then it sort of grows on me. And you say, well, I guess that'll be all right. And that's the way it gets done. And sometimes if something looks a little bit too big for somebody, they rebel against it. They'll have strikes. They'll have a march. They'll have a city. If you try to do too much at one time, so you've got to do it a little bit at a time, that's the only way you can get done. That's the way it is in your own tradition. And the reason that I'm doing this today is because I know, and you're going to be associated with a lot of people that's got a religion like your own tradition. It's a religion that, first of all, it originates with man and not God. And for us as God's children, the only religion that we're authorized to have is the one that comes from God, not man. But see, what we've done today, and we're doing it more and more. I've come to the age, I guess, certainly the kids in here would call me an old man. But throughout my life, I've seen this get done little by little by little by little, and I look back and I see how far we've slipped since I was a child. We slipped a long way. Now, when I was a child, I just can't even imagine that the atheists in this country, such a small percentage that they are, would have more power than we do. We're there, hey folks. I hear people every once in a while saying, hey, they're getting stronger. Well, certainly they're getting stronger. They done got too much power already. It's because we're keeping our mouth shut. And we're letting it happen little by little by little by little. That's a Jeroboam religion kind of thing. So it originated with man and not with God. That's Jeroboam's religion. He said, now let me show you how this works. He said, we're going to set up this golden calf. What makes people look at it and say, well, that's an idol. That's flagrant. Anybody ought to be able to see that that'd be out of worship. But here's what he says. When he sets his golden calf up, now, he said, now this calf is not really an idol. It's a symbol of the God that brought you out of Egypt. All it does is really, it just symbolizes it. I'm not getting away from the true God and the real God, but I'm just giving him a symbol where you can look at him and say, that's the God that brought us out of Egypt. You know, people swallow that. They swallow that. Now, you may think within yourself, that, boy, I wouldn't fall for that. But they did. It's still God. That's Jehovah God. But we're just giving him a form that you can sort of get in your mind. And I'm going to say today that there's people who's got forms in your mind. We see God as some old man with long whiskers that's floating around above the clouds, picking up images like that. But that's what they had there. And he said, I'm going to put one of them at Bethel and one at Dan, because here's the words that he used. He said, it is too much for you. It is too much for you to go all the way to Jerusalem to worship. It's not convenient. And Dan is just as good a place to worship, and Bethel is just as good a place to worship as Jerusalem is. And you know, there's people that say, okay, what difference does it make where you worship, as long as you worship? Do you know we got people that are saying that today? Watch the movie better than I did not long ago. The name of it was Steel Magnolias. I don't know if y'all know that movie or not. Dolly Parton's in it. And one of her girlfriends at the beauty shop, she asked her to go to church with her. She said, well, I don't care where you go to church, as long as you go. Now that's man, that originates with man. It's not what God said. In other words, God don't care what kind of religion you got. It doesn't make any difference what kind of religion you got, as long as you got a religion. I suppose, even if it's a Jeroboam religion. God don't care where you go, as long as you go. God don't care if you go to Jerusalem, go to Dan, or go to Bethel, as long as you go. And so we've got that idea in our society today. We say sometimes, one church is as good as another. One synagogue is good as another. One mosque is as good as it's not true. Because that's what man's put on it. We've gotten away from that in the past few years. Another thing that Jeroboam's religion did is it It caused sin. It caused people to sin. Any time that you make a decision in your life to do something different than what God told you to do, that's sin. That's what it's called. That's the name of it. And that's what it's called, because God told them to go to Jerusalem to worship, and they didn't. They went someplace else, and so that was a sin. And God said in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no graven image. Thou shalt have no graven image. There it is. Standing up there on the rocks. By the way, thank you, I'm digging this up, Lord. And that's a graven image. That's not God. That's not the God that brought out Egypt, but Jeroboam said it was. And so we got people today that's got Jeroboam's religion. It originates from man, but it causes people to sin. When any time that we do something different than what the Bible says for us to do, that's sin. That's Jeroboam's religion. It's religion, but it's a different kind of religion than God would have us to. Then another thing, to a lot of people, it's all right. It seems right. What's wrong with Jeroboam's religion? Well, it didn't originate with God. It didn't originate with man, so that made it sin. Then it caused other people to sin. It looked like it was okay, but it wasn't okay. And God said so. And then another point that we've got up here is it was not authorized by God. And see, that's what people are doing today. They're adding to what God has already authorized. And it's a mixture of what God authorized and what man authorized. And we can't do that. If we do, we're practicing Jeroboam's religion. We're still meeting to worship. That's what Jeroboam was saying. We're still doing what God wants us to do, but we're doing it just a little different. And they were doing some things that were pretty much different. It wasn't authorized by God. Not only was it not authorized by God, it was condemned by God. Somebody said, are you sure about that? It was because God went to the trouble to pick a prophet to go up there and tell Jeroboam and those priests that were serving that it was wrong, and that he pointed all that mess up down. He didn't want to see that anymore, get rid of it. And that was that. That's what it was. And God condemned it. God said, that's not me. I said I didn't want that, but man says that we do. It's condemned by God. And then lastly, it caused division. There were people that knew this wasn't right. God's priests from the tribe of Levi knew that this was not right. So what Jeroboam do? He just appoints priests out of common people. He didn't have to be Levites. Now, under the law, the only people that could be priests was Levi. This is what God said. That's what God authorized. Anything else was condemned. No, but they wouldn't go along with it, so Jeroboam had to get somebody else, and so he just got Tom. He just got people off the street. People didn't know anything about God's law at all, and made them to do it. And if you want to go back in 2 Kings chapter 12, verses, I specifically picked these verses this morning. That's not the whole story. There's a lot more to the story than that. But I'm going to show you how we corrupt this and how we do it today under Jeroboam's religion. One of the things that people do in the Christian religion today is about singing. singing originates with God. God gave us a plan about our singing, which we've done this morning. And here's what God said in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Of course, there's others. But God authorized singing as a part of the worship. Now, people comes along, and they don't call it Jeroboam's religion, but that's really what it is. And they say, well, that's too hard for you. Singing's fine. And who's gonna condemn singing? Nobody comes out and says, hey, we oughtn't have singing as a part of the worship service. Nobody's going to do that because they know that God wants it. But what people will do, they will corrupt it by other means of singing. And there are some congregations where they have more man-made sounds than they do sounds that God wants us to make. Some places are like that. Some places singing's almost extinct. And they've got bands and orchestras and all these things, and that's not what God said to do.
And a lot of people say there's not was nothing wrong with this. But when we practice something that man institutes rather than what God institutes, it's Jeroboam's religion. And I noticed another thing about the collection. I wonder how many of you noticed this. Who can argue with helping poor people? That's a good thing. We as Christians we're commanded to help those that are less fortunate. And we ought to. In Jesus' day, today as well. And the way that we do that is you have to get some money together. Now here's what God said. We're going back to the first point up here again. That did it originate with man or did it originate with God? Well, here's God's plan. God said, for you people that are Christians, and he wrote this in 1 Corinthians, the first letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, Church of Corinth. And then he wrote to them again in another letter, and he mentioned it again. And here's what he actually said about the way that we were to give concerning the collection of the saints. He said that we're to give as we're prospered. And then in the second letter, he said, as we purchase, not grudgingly, but cheerfully. And God tells us, and he gives us a plan how that we should do that. Now man comes along, that is Jeroboam comes along, and he says, what difference does it make how it gets into the treasury as long as it gets in the treasury? You people there at Mount Zion, you have the Lord's Supper, and then after the Lord's Supper is over, you take this and I ain't got a problem with that. If that's the way you people at Mount Zion want to give into the Lord's treasury, then do that. That's a good way to do it. But that ain't the only way to do it. God said it is, but here's man comes along with Jeroboam's religion, and he says, don't make any difference. As long as it gets in the treasury, what difference does it make how it gets in the treasury? I've got a better way of giving than what God does. Well, what's your way of giving? Well, my way of giving is, let's have a bingo game on Thursday night. And then we'll have a yard sale on Saturday. And then Saturday night we'll have a pie supper. And all of these things are more fun than just passing that plate around. Nobody gets any fun out of that. You know, it wasn't given. These verses that I gave you here, wasn't anything said about how much fun it was going to be to give. It just simply said that we ought to give cheerfully, but Jeroboam's religion says it doesn't make any difference how it gets into the treasury as long as it gets there. And like Jeroboam, some people even change the day of the week that it's to be done. But that's what he said. As long as you're giving, that's Jeroboam's religion that says that it's to be done that way. And what about baptism? Well, we've got this attitude today about baptism. and it comes, it originates with people like Jeroboam. You know, I have never talked to a soul in all the years that I've been preaching the gospel, over 40 years, that ever said, baptism is a bad thing. You oughtn't to baptize people. Never have. And I've talked to a lot of people, preachers from different denominations, church members from different denominations, and I have never had anybody that said, David Eaton, you're doing wrong when you baptize people. That's wrong. Nobody ever has told me that. Jeroboam's religion, and some of them have got Jeroboam's religion, what a lot of them will say is, well, baptism, fine, if that's what you want to do. That's kind of like passing a collection plate, but there's other ways of doing it. You don't have to get wet to be saved. Baptism, fine, if that's what you want to practice, but you don't have to do that. And so man has come up with a plan that's better. Some sprinkle, some pour, some of them don't even do anything. Some of them just have a prayer and forget it. But those that do that are practicing Jeroboam's religion. I can tell you that, because it's not authorized by God. And what do you think about church membership? Now, most churches that I know, whether it be a denomination or what, they know who belongs to that congregation. But a lot of people today are simply saying, you don't have to be a member of a church. of some particular local congregation, you don't have to be overseen by that group of elders, and in some cases, in some congregations, it's deacons. Sometimes it's some other means of oversight. Church membership's a good thing, but you don't have to be. You can go here one day and one the next. In other words, you can go to Jerusalem if you want to, or you can go to Dan next week, or you can go to Bethel next week, or someplace else. But you don't need to be a member of a local congregation. Well, where does that come from? It don't come from God, because God authorizes otherwise. Well, it has to come from Jeroboam. That's where it comes from. Jeroboam said it didn't make any difference where you went to worship. If Dan was closer, just go there. It's more convenient. But if Bethel was closer, then do that. Now, what about the Lord's Supper? Now, the Lord's Supper to us is, that is so sacred to us. We do it every week here at Mount Zion, as the Bible authorizes in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. But the Lord's Supper to a lot of people, they've got a Jeroboam kind of religion. And what a great time of year it is to be talking about it, because we see a lot of people practicing it. There's going to be people that are going to church this week. And no doubt they'll take the Lord's Supper in their way, but they won't take it again until this time next year. That's true. Today is going to be the holiest day of the year, church-wise, for a lot of people. And some will even go on Christmas Day and take the Lord's Supper on Christmas Day, and that'll be on Tuesday, which is not authorized by the New Testament, only on the first day of the week. I had an acquaintance that lived in Louisville, and he went to one of those so-called mega churches. And at the church where he went, they didn't quit offer taking the Lord's Supper on Sunday morning like we're going to do in a few minutes. But they also offered it on Saturday night. And I said, why on Saturday night? And he said, well, there are just so many people that are busy on Sunday morning that they just can't get there. And rather than them just miss taking Lord's Supper, wouldn't it be better to have it on Saturday night than for miss it altogether? That's Jeroboam thinking. And that's Jeroboam practice. You're not going to find a word in God's Word that says it's just as good to take it on Saturday night as it is on Sunday. But unauthorized. That's man's authorization. And that's what they did. If you was too busy on Sunday to go to church, you could go on Saturday night and take the Lord's Supper. And that's the way they did for quite a while. I don't know if they're still doing that or not. But Jeroboam said it didn't make any difference just as long as you got it done. What difference did it make? He changed the time of the worship at Jerusalem from the first day of the month, we'd call it October, back to August 15th, and said that's good enough. And it wasn't okay with God. And that's Jeroboam religions that do that. And then what about church attendance? And that's going to be the last one that we discuss this morning. Church attendance. Now, there are so many people today that have subscribed to Jeroboam's religion. And that's a religion that's not found in God's Word. Church attendance is okay. I don't know of anybody that will condemn a Christian for going to church. Don't know. So I have never in all the years that I've been preaching saying, you people worship too much. Why go every Sunday? There's no need to go every Sunday. Are you so bad that you got to go every Sunday? Nobody says that. But there's people that will talk out of the same mouth, maybe the other side, but will say, well, you don't have to go every Sunday. Going every Sunday is okay, but you don't have to. And so we wind up with a don't have to religion. We don't have to take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. We don't have to give every Sunday. We don't have to sing every Sunday. We don't have to practice baptism. All these things are good, but you don't have to. And when you get to that point that you don't have to, you've got a Jeroboam religion. And a Jeroboam religion is condemned by God. It's condemned by God. Anybody that practices anything that man says to do, is that? Now, all of you know this morning I've kind of spoofed in some places. You're not going to get in your car and go drive back to Bowling Green today or someplace else and come by some church and says, Jeroboam Church over the front door. Or out there on the marquee, it's not going to say, Jeroboam's Church. It's not going to say that. But if you go inside and see what they practice, I can tell you the kind of religion that's being practiced there. If it's not what we find right here, what's being practiced is Jeroboam's religion. That's what it is. It originates with man. It causes people to sin. It seems right to a lot of people. Its authority is not from God. God, as a matter of fact, condemns it. And he sends his prophets and or preachers to condemn it. And the last point that's on the board up here is it causes a lot of division. And that's the reason why today that we've got 300 plus denominations of so-called Christianity in the United States of America today. That's the reason why. Is because somebody says, it's too much for you. Let's do it the easy way. Let's do it the most convenient way. Let's go up to Dan or up to Bethel to worship. And we'll put God up on the rock where we can really see what God looks like. And that's Jeroboam's religion. Last word. And God said, I will bring evil on the house of Jeroboam. Everybody get that? I will bring evil on the house of Jeroboam. And he did. It could be today that there's somebody that you know, that you're pretty close to, is practicing the religion of Jeroboam. Now, it may not be up to you to go to that person and explain all these points to them. But you know from what you've heard this morning that it's Jeroboam's religion, that it's not the kind of religion God wants us to have. He wants us to have his religion, the religion that he's laid down for us in his book. Could be that there's somebody in our audience this morning that's outside of Christ. If you're outside of Christ today and you'd like to be a part of this congregation, a part of God's church, we're going to do it God's way. I'm not going to do it man's way. You have to believe, you have to confess that Jesus is God's Son, repent and be baptized for the remission of sin. That's God's way. Some people don't do it that way, but that's God's way. And then when you become a member of the church, you have to remain faithful, true and pure to Him all the days of your life. Some people say that's not necessary, but those people adhere to Jeroboam's religion. That's what God wants you to do. Are you here this morning? Is there something that we can do to help you? While we stand, Greg, and while we sing.